Health and safety. The Health and Safety at Work Act was introduced in 2015, where health and safety was a commercial workplace issue. It has now become an issue affecting tenanted residential properties. Also, on April 2018, Health and Safety at Work Asbestos Regulations 2016 came into force. The government has now introduced the Healthy Home Standards, which need to be in place by the 1st of July 2021. Health and Safety. Health and Safety at Work Act. You are a PCBU. Under the Health and Safety at Work Act, you have become a PCBU. What or who is a PCBU? Person conducting a business or undertaking. A business entity such as a company, a sole trader or self-employed contractor. Employees are not PCBUs. These are workers or officers. Workers are individuals who carry out work in any captivity for the PCBU. The key point for me was that contractors become your workers while at the house, worksite. You are also an officer. What does this mean? Everyone is responsible for health and safety. All PCBUs have a primary duty of care to workers and other people. Officers of PCBUs must exercise due diligence and ensure health and safety is being met. All PCBUs, so far as reasonably practical, must engage with workers. We are lucky we do not have staff other than those who use people for ingoing condition reports, but any contractors are to be treated the same. Residential tenants have a responsibility under the Act when work is carried out on the property. They have to take reasonable care for their own and for others' health and safety and follow any reasonable instructions given by a PCBU doing the work. Example, a plumber or an electrician. Contractor agreements. Every contractor will need to complete a Pukeko Manager's Contractor's Agreement. With increased legislation around health and safety in the workplace, it is imperative that you have agreements in place for all contractors. Terms such as PCBU will become well known. Your contractors will be your responsibility, and as such, you will need to have an agreement with each one. The written contractor's agreement puts the responsibility on the contractors and protects you and your business. This can be used for all contractors that work for you. By signing this agreement, they are saying that they are qualified and insured to carry out the work for your investors. The contractor's agreement has been written by solicitors for the property management industry. Contractor's agreement focuses on the following aspects. It ensures that contractors are qualified to carry out the work requested and they do not work on things they are not qualified to do. Your contractors accept that they are adequately insured. Your contractors agree that they and any of their employees are aware of their obligations under health and safety at work. You will be indemnified from any claims or costs made due to work or an activity undertaken by the contractor. Your business will not be liable for any costs if your clients do not pay, as long as you have taken the necessary steps to recover the debt. Steps to getting a contractor agreement for a new supplier. Step 1. The contractor's agreement form is open and then type in the following. Name a contractor. Name of details contractor. Contact details contractor. Name of the property management business. Please use your company name trading as Pukeko Rental Managers. Your contact details. Category of contracts or contractors work. Agreed costs and charges. New additional clause to be inserted. The contractor must notify the property manager immediately on discovery of any asbestos containing material, ACM, so the management plan can be drawn up if required. Print 2 copies for both parties to sign. Print cover letter and post to contractor. When returned, place signed copy in special contractor's agreement folder. Owner doing own repairs and maintenance. We have issued a letter that must be signed. We have made a letter that must be signed by the owner if they wish to arrange maintenance and repairs independently from you. The owner needs to identify you against a breach of the health and safety regulations on the property that has been supervised or for any work that has been supervised or undertaken by the owner. The owner identity letter. Risk assessments. Needs to be carried out by each pukeko manager and each contractor who visits the property to carry out work. Reasonably able to be done, ensuring health and safety, taking into account the likelihood of the hazard and the risk concerned, the degree of harm that might result from this hazard or risk, and what the person concerned knows or ought reasonably to know about the hazard or risk, and ways of eliminating or minimising the risk, and the availability and suitability of ways to eliminate and minimise the risk, and after assessing the extent and the risk available and the available ways of minimising the risk, the cost associated with the available ways of eliminating the risk, including whether the cost is grossly disproportionate to the risk hazard and harm versus cost. Property health and safety in place. The Palace software has a health and safety tab for each property. It is expected by the MBIE that when they do their audit for this section for each property has been completed and the supporting paperwork as evidence is available. This now includes smoke alarms, location type and expiry date, insulation, type R rating for ceilings, walls and underfloor, asbestos present and location, status, healthy home requirements, heating, ventilation and ground moisture. Hazard identification. Pukeko managers will identify health and safety risks as part of the initial viewing of the property, ongoing condition report and ongoing 3 monthly inspections. By doing this as part of the inspection process, each pukeko rental manager ensures they are looking for risks and identifying risks is at the top of their minds. Each room should have an included risk feature just like doors. Then they need to add 2 further statuses such as no issue or issue found. It is recommended to add new status options as setup status option on the computer prior to exporting inspections so that new status options are available. If an issue is found, then it needs to be added as a comment. The next question is, eliminate, isolate or minimise. Any instruction made to the tenant needs to be recorded. Any urgent work order needs to be entered into the inspection app so it is immediately processed when the inspection is imported. Smoke alarms. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment will have new powers to investigate and prosecute landlords for breaking tenancy laws, particularly where there is a risk to health and the safety of tenants. The changes will also ensure that tenants can take concerns to the tenancy tribunal without fear of being evicted for doing so. Smoke alarms are required in all tenanted properties. Regulations make landlords responsible for ensuring that an operational smoke alarm is in place and the tenants responsible for replacing batteries and notifying landlords of defects. Long-life 10-year photoelectric alarms will be required where there is no existing alarm or replacing an existing alarm. Minimum standards. Minimum of 1 working smoke alarm within 3 metres of each bedroom door. Minimum of 1 working smoke alarm in a self-contained sleep-out caravan or similar. Minimum of 1 working smoke alarm on each level of a multi-level unit. All new installations will be specifically long-life photoelectric alarms. Existing battery-operated smoke alarms will be replaced by long-life photoelectric alarms when the former fails or needs to be replaced. Landlord obligation. Installation of smoke alarms or to the above minimum standard and ascertain that all alarms are operational at the start of each new tenancy. Tenant obligation. Changing the batteries during the tenancy so the alarms continue to be operational. With Pukeka rental managers' goal of providing safe living environment and adequate smoke alarms need to be installed. In each room there is a smoke alarm. A feature needs to be added to remind us to test the alarm during each inspection. It is recommended that you have a cattle prod or similar if you are vertically challenged. Methamphetamine. Pukeka managers have been leaders in the issue of methamphetamine P for several having tested and finding contaminated properties. We have been proactive by encouraging owners to undertake baseline testing and test at the start and end of tenancies. The main purpose is to send a clear signal that P users or manufacturers are not welcome. This program should be promoted to all owners. We have developed a flyer that needs to be included in any presentation to educate owners of our policy and why it is important. Key reasons for the adoption of the baseline testing program is 1. The Health and Safety Act. Any suspicion of the property being used to smoke or manufacture meth P places the obligation on a landlord to test. Tenancy Tribunal. Both in Vizag versus Harper Property Management and Charman versus Barfoot Realty, the tribunal expects the landlord to provide uncontaminated and healthy living environment, and not knowing it was contaminated is no excuse. In both cases, rent was refunded to the tenant and compensation paid for contaminated furniture. Deterrence is as important as detection. The best way to avoid a property being contaminated while you're managing it is to make it clear to everyone that you meth test. With a methamphetamine clause in the tenancy agreement and marketing photos showing the logo, we test for meth, so it's a clear sign for even casual users to stay away. If the tenant still chooses to smoke meth and allow others to smoke it on the premises, at the end of the tenancy a test will expose us. Because we can prove it was contaminated during the tenancy, the tenant is liable for the cost of decontamination. Growing demand from tenants. With the continuing media coverage of the growing in meth, tenants are increasingly seeking insurance that the property is free from contamination for the health of the family. They would prefer to rent a property that has a meth testing program. As part of the Tenancy Regulations 2019, no tenant can be found liable for meth contamination if there is no ingoing meth test. As part of our risk assessments, we need to look for telltale signs, and if we identify any, we will be responsible for getting the property tested. Telltale signs. In most cases, when you enter a home that is meth contaminated, you will not notice anything. However, if it is bad enough, you will sense a burning of your eyes, itchy throat, a metallic taste in your mouth, or breathing problems, and then get out of there immediately. Take note if the tenants mentioned their home was making them sick from breathing problems to seizures, migraines and kidney problems. These are indirect indications of meth use and could apply to other drugs that are snorted, smoked or injected. Aluminium foil with burn marks of smoking, straws used to snort, especially with burn marks used to smoke, empty plastic pen cases used for snorting or smoking, small plastic bags, water pipes and other pipes used to smoke, rolled up dollar bills and paper used for snorting, razor blades, IDs and credit cards with powder residue on them used for snorting, syringes and syringe caps of injecting, missing and misplaced shoelaces to tie off injection sites, rubber straps. Other potential signs. Frequent visitors at all times of the day and night, followed by periods where there are no visitors. Visitors park far away from the meth lab house, even though there is parking available in front of the house. Activity at the house is usually at odd hours or late at night. Occupants appear to be unemployed yet seem to have plenty of money and pay for bills with cash. Occupants are unfriendly and appear secretive about their activities. Occupants watch cars suspiciously when they pass by. Occupants display a paranoid or odd behaviour. Extensive security at home, windows blackened or curtains always drawn, chemical odours coming from the house, garbage or detached buildings. The garbage contains numerous bottles and containers, coffee filters, bed sheets and other materials stained from filtering red phosphorus or other chemicals. Occupant sets his garbage for pick up in another neighbour's collection area, evidence of chemical or waste dumping, burn pits or dead spots in the yard. If you see these signs, there is a question you must consider. Consider checking with the neighbours for their any observations or organise a test. If you think that it may be contaminated, then the responsibility is on you to order a test. There is no defence in putting your head in the sand. Owner declining baseline meth testing. If an owner does not wish to have his property tested for meth and he is aware of the financial risk, then you need to investigate the reason for his decision. It could be that methamphetamine is not a real issue, or they have lived in the house so it'll be clean, or he is worried that it's already contaminated and he doesn't want to face an issue. If you still wish to manage the property, you must have the owner sign an owner opt-out form so that he takes full responsibility and acknowledges that you advised him of the consequences. Installation. All landlords to state and tenancy agreements a level of ceiling, underfloor and wall installation to help better inform tenants. A recommended independent report is advised as we are not installation specialists, nor do we want to be liable for false reporting. Seek an installation company who you can do a joint venture with. As from the 1st of July 2019, if the installation is not at the minimum required, then exemplary damages of $4,000 can be awarded, payable to the tenant. Minimum standards. If compliant before July 1st, 2019, property with no existing installation must be upgraded to the 2008 building standards. Property with existing installation must be up to the 2001 building standards. Before 1st of July 2021, the minimum level of ceiling and underfloor installation must meet either the 2008 building code or, for existing installation, have a minimum thickness of 120 millimetres. Self-insulation is permissible, but be aware of the insurance and liability consequences. Asbestos regulations. New asbestos regulations have been introduced and took effect on April 2018. Health and Safety at Work Asbestos Regulations 2016. The regulations identifying asbestos. Potential asbestos in a pre-2000 house. Asbestos contained materials come in all shapes, sizes and colours. There are mostly three types of raw asbestos used in New Zealand: blue, brown and white asbestos. They were used in many building products, and asbestos was often mixed with other materials, so it's virtually impossible to identify by eye whether or not it is present in suspected materials. The only way to be certain if your home contains asbestos is to have materials tested at an accredited laboratory. Do not attempt to obtain a sample without talking to the laboratory first. Asbestos-containing materials were common building product in the 1940s through to the 1990s. Because asbestos is fire, heat, chemical and noise resistant, as well as providing added strength to otherwise brittle materials such as cement, it is widely used. In some instances, it was used earlier than 1940, such as in a lathe or plaster. From October 1, 2016, imports of products containing asbestos are banned. A large proportion of buildings built or renovated in the 40s to the 90s will contain some asbestos materials. However, some houses built after this area may also. Asbestos can be found in asbestos cement products, pipes, flutes, roofs, etc., wall cladding, fibre light, lagging on pipes and boilers, etc., water tanks, asbestos insulating board, spray coatings on ceilings, walls, beams, columns, textured decorative coatings, flat and striped plaster, vinyl flooring and backing, textures and composites, gaskets and ropes as wood burners, lathe and plaster, mastics and sealants, damp-proof courses, Mithroid. Asbestos management planning. The asbestos management process is the first step is to identify asbestos and the ACMs and identify ways to control them. Identify asbestos and ACMs. Assess risks from asbestos and ACMs to identify ways to control them. Develop an asbestos management plan. Procedures for accidents, incidents and emergencies. Review asbestos management plan's effectiveness. Assuming asbestos or ACM is present. Workplace PCBUs can assume asbestos is present in their workplace instead of identifying it. If the workplace PCUB cannot identify material at the workplace but reasonably believes the material is asbestos or an ACM, it must assume the material is asbestos. If the workplace PCBU assumes asbestos is present, it is taken to be identified. This means that the requirements in the asbestos regulations on identified asbestos also apply to parts of the workplace where asbestos is assumed to be present. The workplace PCBU must follow the requirements for managing asbestos until it is removed, or there are reasonable grounds to believe the workplace does not contain asbestos by testing. Record information about its assumptions in the asbestos management plan, roof sheeting assumed to contain asbestos, or all underground contacts assumed to contain asbestos. Dealing with and assessing risk. Asbestos is a health hazard, although the risk to you and your family is very low from short-term low-level exposure in the home. Asbestos creates a health risk only if it is disturbed or broken up and fibres are released into the air. The Act states that property matters such as PCBUs need to track steps that are reasonably practical as they owe a duty of care to the tenants. Here are some key decisions on the development of the Pukeko's manager's asbestos policy. Decision: that each Pukeko manager, as far as practical, identify any construction material that may contain asbestos, and this will be recorded on the ingoing condition report. Reason: any ACM left undisturbed during the management of the property, asbestos is safe if it is left intact and undisturbed. Any damaged ATM must be treated as a hazard and treated accordingly. Decision: it will be assumed that all properties in the portfolio built between 1950 and 2000 will have asbestos or ACM. Reason: there is a limit to what each Pukeko manager would be reasonably expected to identify. Decision: that each contractor will be asked to identify any asbestos or ACM before carrying out any minor repair and, if unsure, to have it tested. If any asbestos or ACM is identified, a management plan must be developed. Reason: it is believed that contractors, e.g. plumbers or electricians, will have a better understanding of materials containing asbestos or ACM. Decision: no major repair, renovation or demolition will take place on a property while a tenant is residing on the property. Reason: the owners will be notified one of their responsibilities of getting an SQEP to develop a plan before any major repair, renovation or demolition takes place. Pukeko managers deems the risk of carrying out such work while a tenant resides at the property is too great. Advice to owners. This section is only for advice, information to owners. Any major repairs, renovation or demolition should be done between tenancies. Major repairs or renovation work. Testing for asbestos. The only way to be certain if your home contains asbestos is to have suspect materials tested in an accredited laboratory. Do not attempt to obtain a sample without talking to a laboratory first. For a full list of accredited testing facilities across New Zealand, visit ianz.gov.nz and search for the keyword asbestos. You can contact the health protection team working in the public health unit of your district health board if you want to find out the approved testing laboratories in your region. Managing asbestos. If testing has confirmed the presence of asbestos in your home and you are starting renovation, demolition or repair work, you can leave it undisturbed if it is in good stable condition and it won't be impacted by the renovation work, or engage an asbestos license holder to put in place other options for dealing with asbestos, such as sealing and casing or complete removal. Asbestos, if left undisturbed in good condition and sealed, is relatively safe, but it can be easily crumbled or broken down or damaged if you intend to drill it, sand it or break it up. It can be harmful and need specialist attention. Asbestos Aware strongly advises that you use professional asbestos removal companies to undertake the removal, transportation and disposal. They are fully trained and equipped to complete this work and to manage the cleanup. Residue from asbestos left in your home can cause health issues in the future. That's why it's important to be asbestos aware. There are certain types of work with asbestos containing materials that by law can only be carried by a license holder and their nominated supervisors or removal workers. WorkSafe manages the licensing scheme under the Asbestos Regulations 2016 Act. There is a transitional plan in place for these operators who hold a certificate of compliance for restricted work with asbestos under the old legislation. This means the certificate holders can operate as an asbestos license holder until the 4th of April 2018, and then when their certificate expires, or when their certificate expires, whatever comes first. See the WorkSafe website for a full list of license holders. Certified contractors should follow approved methods for removal. You can find out more about this methodology and what to expect from a removal company by downloading the fact sheets on this page. After safe removal and disposal, you can expect your contractor to complete the following as a final cleanup of your home. Vacuum residue and dust from all surfaces, including unsealed drawers and cupboards, using a vacuum cleaner fitted with an HEPA filter. Wet wiping after vacuuming. Remember, asbestos is safe if it is left intact and undisturbed. Ministry of Health advice to householders, community and public health, removing asbestos from the home. Disposal. Asbestos is a hazardous waste and must be disposed of correctly. It would be strongly recommended that owners employ a licensed asbestos removalist, an LAR.